Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 93 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I am one of your hosts, Jim Biscardi, and as always, I am joined by Megan Peters and Christian Hoffer.
Hello. Jim, did you do something different to your office?
I got a new camera.
Oh.
Wow. Look at you. You got that new angle set up.
New angle. I got, you know, we can see more of my stuff.
We can see whatever that is in the background to your
right.
There's
a shocking lack of Pokemon, though.
No, look, look. I'm showing off my Charizard card, my Pikachu card, my wonderful James Spader.
I know. But when you look at Hoppers,
James Spader.
Oh, wow. I think James Spader is a Pokemon. That's the real
Thank
theory
you.
Here.
And then I've got some Preds bobbleheads there. But anyway, you're not here to talk about the stuff in my background. You're here to talk about Pokemon. That's why we're here. This show is a weekly show live on Twitch every Monday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. overseas. And we talk about all things Pokemon. We talk about the games, we talk about the controversy, we talk about the anime, and every week you get a fact about Pokemon to make you a better, smarter Pokemon fan. This week, a few things. Everyone's been talking about the McDonald's Pokemon cards and people are doing crazy things. And we have a whole new story surrounding all Pokemon cards. But Megan and I made a trip out to our local McDonald's. We got some. We're going to break them open in a little later. And let's see what we get. Christian didn't get any, so he is just going to watch.
You know, some of us are still living in quarantine, guys.
Yeah. Hey, I can make it to a McDonald's with a mask and just crack open my window.
Drive-through, contact us. They put it in a bin and they stick it out the window. No one touches anything.
So, you know, I did see a breaking Pokemon news story that made me think of you, Jim.
Oh, okay.
So there is, since we're talking about Pokemon cards, might as well just jump right into this. This happened after I made the script. As we all know, Pokemon cards are a hot commodity right now, to the point where people are staking out Targets, McDonald's, apparently, to get their hands on the stock as soon as it comes in.
Mm-hmm.
There was a report that one of the distribution people who handle Pokemon cards and other cards for Target found out that somebody had placed a tracking chip on their vehicle, so that the resellers, the people who go and buy all the elite trainer boxes and all the boxes and stuff, and then go and stick them on eBay for lots of money, will know exactly when those things are in. And when I read the story, I went, "Oh my God, this is like Jim.
You
sunk into a new low."
I mean, have they been able to trace it back to Titty?
That is kind of crazy. But it's just so funny because, look, here's the thing. Like, obviously, we talk about Pokemon cards because we are a Pokemon show. A friend of mine sent me a picture, went to Target the other day, and there was a sign for limits on sports cards, on football cards, baseball cards, basketball cards. So, like, the trading card thing is not just Pokemon only. Pokemon is seeing some big, obviously a big, resurgence, but you're seeing it in sports cards. You're seeing it with those Marvel Impel cards. There's a lot. But I think, I think we could probably talk about this now too. We'll jump ahead a little bit in our breakdown, but the Pokemon company is, or sorry, not the, Pokemon company is, they're going to be making they're printing more. And so it'll be very interesting to see at what volume do they print more and will it do anything to, deter or just make wider, the cards. Like there was a big conversation last week and it happened only because I think the McDonald's cards came out last Wednesday. Our shows are on Mondays. There was a lot of people obviously were going out to try and get cards, and McDonald's had put out a thing where they said you can only get them with Happy Meals. Obviously, a lot of McDonald's are franchises, and so some may or may not listen to them. And it's one of those things where, obviously anyone going out and buying boxes of these things just to resell them is that's terrible, because I think also too, the whole point of this, right, is there are going to be kids whose first interaction with Pokemon cards or Pokemon or whatever are going to be through these cards.
Yeah.
And so you had a lot of people. I mean, look, we went out and we got something. I only got one. Megan only got three. But there are a lot of, YouTubers out there and streamers or whatnot who are buying cases of this stuff just to, just to do, for online content. So, it's a tightrope that you should probably walk with these things when determining whether or not, what you want to do here. But hopefully some of these reprints, especially for, the new sets, coming out, will help with that. The whole collector craze obviously feels spurred on by the sense of, just the COVID of it all, in a sense, where like everyone's home. And so everyone's on eBay or everyone's digging through, cleaning out closets and seeing what they've got. And it can be a very fun hobby that unfortunately is getting a bit more expensive by the day. So.
This reminds me a bit of, back when the Pokemon Go thing, the Pokemon Go craze happened, and the Pokemon company was just not prepared, and Niantic was not prepared for just how big it has gotten. And this reminds me a lot of that. And it's nobody's fault. Part of the reason why we're seeing these shortages is the distribution, the distribution lines are all screwed up because of COVID. Demand is much higher than it was a year ago. Like I read, I read all these industry reports, and Pokemon products overtook Magic last month.
Yeah,
that is how big Pokemon is right now. Like in terms of game retailers, Pokemon has overtaken Magic. Now, part of that coincides with the fact that Magic has been, Magic, which is the number one card game in the world. Oh, it has been basically since its release. It's always been Magic 1, Pokemon 2. And the reason why, Magic is kind of like taking a hit is part of it is just their cycle is also messed up because of COVID. But the other thing is that unlike the Pokemon cards, where the game itself, they have an online component. Like you can play the Pokemon trading card online, but no one really does it. It is not that big, with Magic.
I only like it for the habit, just the habit of just opening up digital packs on that version. Yeah. It's just nice.
Yeah. And like I said,
digitally I'll get a shiny Charizard. Who knows?
You're not going to get a shiny Charizard ever. I really hope we get like a Shining Fates box, because I want to be on that like card opening so I can just go at you for like 40 minutes. But yeah, basically my point is that, the Pokemon cards, they have like the physical nature of it as, people want the physical Pokemon cards. Like the people who are playing Magic right now, they can play Magic the Gathering Arena and get the same experience. And, a lot of it's moving to that, and good for them. That's been a huge moneymaker for Hasbro. But for Pokemon, people still want the cards. And apparently they don't care what the cards are, judging from the fact that there are four McDonald's packs in this podcast right now.
Hey, I see you insulting me.
This is for the better.
This is for the entertainment of our fans.
You keep telling yourself that, Jim.
These will go right. These will go. Well, what? That's the thing too. The crazy thing about the whole McDonald's things is, just looking at prices, like there are only one or two cards out of this thing that are breaking maybe $20, and it's the Pikachu foil card, which makes sense, right? Yeah. Pikachu cards in general always do well. If you've got a Pikachu, if there's a Pikachu foil card in a limited promo pack, that's probably going to be the one that pops up. But everything else is not really. Like nothing has really popped. I think the problem is that people are buying boxes of them, and so they're able to potentially get some of these cards in bulk and make some money necessarily that way. But it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
We ready to move on?
Yeah, sure. Sorry. Okay. Apparently, there's a conversation about Taylor Swift going on in the Twitter
chat. Oh, okay,
perfect. So I got a chuckle off of that.
All right. Well, we can stay on the singer track and talk about Post Malone, the new spokesperson for the Pokemon Company.
Animated spokesperson. Oh, animated. Right. Man. Animated.
This is
animated.
I love everything about this. But who wants to tell us about it?
Well, I think we've covered the gist of it. Post Malone will be having a virtual concert on Pokemon Day. I'll be honest, because I am an old, I don't really know what Post Malone does. No, I legitimately, like, I'm sure I've listened to his songs. I'm not so out of touch with pop culture, but due to the fact that I no longer have a commute, I no longer listen to, like, top 40 radio.
So he's all over. I mean, he's all over the top 40s. Basically, I mean, virtual concerts have become a prevalent part of our lives now that COVID is a thing and, you know, real concerts can't happen. I'd be curious if COVID weren't a thing, if Post Malone would be doing an actual concert somewhere and they'd have like hologram like Pokemon popping up on stage. But yeah, basically, I mean, Post Malone, I mean, I don't know a lot about him, but I do know that he's a fairly nerdy person and he has indicated his love of Pokemon before. And several of the Pokemon kind of team members that I follow like have discussed how genuinely excited Post Malone is as a fan of Pokemon to be doing this. So it doesn't feel like it's necessarily like any sort of like purely cash grabbing thing. Obviously, there's part of that to it, which because business is business. I'm so curious. I just, none of his songs I feel like fit the demo. I know, Hoffer, maybe you don't know like a lot of his songs, but they're just not necessarily what I would see fitting in the demo of Pokemon, but you know, I can be surprised.
I'm pulling up some of the lyrics to his songs.
Oh, just close the window. These virtual concerts have the potential to be a lot of fun, right? Like Fortnite has done one, and it was really, really cool.
There's Toby Keith, right?
Oh no! My gosh, Jesus. Hoffer!
Come on!
Wait, it wasn't?
No.
What was the virtual concert?
Travis Scott, right?
Yeah, Travis Scott.
Yeah.
They're different people.
Oh, okay.
Okay, now we're playing into Christian's bit, and I will not have any of that. No, but these things could be cool. I think it'll be interesting to see what how long this is, right? Like just using Fortnite as an example. You know, with the Travis Scott thing, it was not very long. It was just a couple, you know, it was a few songs that kind of linked together, and at most was maybe 10 minutes. But I think like the thing that's the most interesting about this is like the style of in which this virtual concert is, like the animation style. I think I saw someone in the comments say, why does he look like he's made out of Play-Doh, which is great. Like it's got that weird kind of, you know, texture to it. Go ahead.
I was going to say, honestly, the way to make me most excited for this would be if they'd sprung for the budget to do it like in the anime style, because I want to see like cute weeb Post Malone in anime, like full get up, like does like a Sailor Moon transformation mid concert and turns into like a Pokemon trainer. Like that's what really should have happened. If they were going to spring for a virtual concert, should have done it anime style, but that's just my perspective.
I mean, when he transformed, so they did this like 30 second bit where it's like Post Malone and he's wearing a yellow and black plaid coat walking to some sort of concert venue. And the big Easter egg, there was two. One, there was a vending machine with menus that were vending machine menus from Pokemon Red and Blue. And the other one was that he was wearing three rings, one red, one blue, one green, representing the three original Pokemon games. And then he transformed into a 3D Wii, whatever that was. I love the fact that they kept all his tattoos. Like, they're like, that is like what killed me. It's just like, well, you know, at least they're going. I just looked up the lyrics to like four Post Malone songs, and I am genuinely curious which ones they're going to do. I mean, obviously, it's not going to be Rockstar because that one starts off with like, oh, well, we can't talk about, you know, he drops right into things that I'm not allowed to say.
Maybe Post Malone wrote a song for Pokemon Day.
This is or part maybe, of the P25. Or maybe,
guys.
It is because it is part of the anniversary.
I know what they're going to do. I know exactly what they're going to do. Instead of him playing his usual music, they'll have him cover like the Kids Bop covers of his songs.
Oh my God.
So with all the like super censored stuff, there are Kids Bop versions of these songs. I know these from the small children.
Maybe he'll do the anime intro, the original anime song. All right. That maybe he'll do that.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's going
to Or he'll do the Pokemon rap.
He'll do the poker rap. Oh my God. Why did we not think of it?
That would be amazing.
Doing the poker rap.
Here's the thing. Post Malone, who was born 6 months before the first Pokemon game came out, has been a Pokemon fan. He says he's been a Pokemon fan since the earliest, you know, since he was pretty young. I believe it. I think that, you know, and I say this, Pokemon is a monolith. You know, I think it transcends like coolness or uncoolness or whatever it is. So, you know, I do think that, you know, if you're someone like Post Malone or Katy Perry, there is no reason for you to feel like, oh, I need to hitch my wagon to the Pokemon fan, you know, to the Pokemon fandom. So I think that he's genuinely a fan. And you know what? That's great. Good for him. I'm really curious to see if like we're going to get like announcements over the course of this, you know, concert. Like, you know, Post Malone sings a song and they're like, yeah, and now we're getting Gen 4 remakes. You know, take it away, Post Malone. Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen. This is wild.
We should do a quick programming note. So Pokemon Day is not this coming Saturday, but next Saturday. So there is one more episode of our show before then. And then the Monday after Pokemon Day, you can catch all of our recaps and reactions to all of the big news that dropped that day. So with that, let's move on and we'll crack open some Pokemon cards and then take a quick, or we'll probably do that after the break. But anyway, let's talk about another thing that COVID has taken from us. The Pokemon World Championships have been canceled.
I mean,
but we knew it was coming.
I will admit, I knew because this is an international level competition, I feel like it was just too much to bear. Like, you know, there's too much risk involved. It was in August and like, you know, like I was kind of thinking maybe, just maybe, this might be on the cusp or so these things might be safe to do again. But I get it. It's an international thing. I do think it's really hilarious, though, that by the time that we actually get world championships, like kids who like got invited to some like the lower level competition, like the lower age bracket competitions will officially aged out their age brackets.
Yeah.
But here's
the thing. We just ragged on it. But if they wanted to do worlds, they could. Why not just let the players build their decks on the trading card game online and do it that way, right? You can stream it. You can have the event. You can still sell merch or whatnot, but you can make this a true esports type like event using technology you've already got.
So they do this. So that's called the Players Cup. They built a parallel online competitive aspect that people are playing through. They have invitational tournaments where, you know, to keep interest in the games alive. The difference is that, you know, the actual world championships, I feel like the reason they don't want to frame it as such is because that is the culmination of organized play, which, mm-hmm. you know, requires heavy buy-in from retailers, because it's the retailers who, you know, do put on the local card events and the regional card events. And it's, you know, it's even retailers who do like the video game stuff too.
Sure.
You know, they're all the people, you know, that all gets fed into the organized play really relies a lot on the brick and mortar side of stuff. Yeah. And so I feel like them totally cutting it out and saying we're doing Worlds digitally would get a huge amount of pushback. And yeah, I mean, Jim, you get this. We come from the comic book world and look at that.
I don't know. To me, it feels more like you do it as a one-off, right? Like you don't, you know, I know it's a slippery slope and everyone wants to think, well, if you start here, then they're always going to do it that way. But I think, you know, I don't want to call them desperate times, call for desperate measures, but I mean, it's an opportunity to innovate, to keep something rolling in a way that it can still keep interest. Not that there's not interest, but I think it can draw some more attention to the online trading card game. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like primarily we've discussed obviously how the digital Pokemon TCG whole application program works. It's not the best. It's not the smoothest. It's going to require some serious overhaul to be able to do all the facets that you would need to do for the world championships. Cause you also have the VGC tournaments to worry about. I mean, all that kind of stuff. And I feel like the other thing that inevitably would happen is if it was virtual, I mean, you know, there would be people who are like crying like, oh, well, so-and-so had something off camera that they were cheating. You know, you didn't have people watching these games. Like, I know that's like a really petty thing for people to probably accuse one another of. And I'm not accusing the people playing at this level of the world championships of acting.
Everyone else needs a webcam. But even then,
That's a lot of coordination. That's a lot of coordination and a lot of cost, especially if you're only going to do it once.
If they're gonna
put the money in to do it, like they would have to really kind of dedicate to doing something virtually consistently. I'd feel like to make the cost, you know, worth it.
And I also feel like we're beating around the bush a little bit. The other thing to consider is I do not think that the Pokemon company, the trading card game online is certainly a thing that exists.
Yeah,
I do not think it is something. Done. I do not think it is something that they want to spotlight.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Especially if they're making hand over fist on physical cards. they want everyone to buy the big packs, blisters, boosters. That's what they want. And they don't necessarily care about the other right now. So.
All right. Let's hit the Pokemon Go news. And then we'll take our break. Christian.
A couple things. Valentine's Day event is live. It's pink Pokemon. There's a couple. I honestly can't keep track of all the regional exclusives, but you know, there's some pairs, so like Volbeat and Illumise, Plusle and Minum. Well, I know those two aren't exclusive, but I think Volbeat and Illumise are. I could be mistaken about that. But you know, kind of that's kind of like what's going on. But the big thing is there's two new Pokemon that got added into this event, which is Munna and Marsharna. Which Munna is Munna evolves into Marshana, and the other thing is shiny Alolmanola. I'm sure I butchered that one because it's a Pokemon that literally no one uses. That got added to the game. That was kind of a surprise. They did not announce that, and so it was kind of a pleasant surprise yesterday. So that goes up until the 18th, and then we're hopping right into Pokemon Go Tour Kanto, which is next weekend. So, Yes, and I was about to say, and all three of us will be participating in Pokemon Go Tour, so we will talk about that next week. But you know, it's going to be a great event. I'm looking forward to it.
I am trying to see if I can figure out a way how to potentially, at least for me, and if we can, we'll definitely let you know, stream this thing. I know there are Pokemon Go streaming is a thing that some people like to do, and so I'm going to try and figure it out because I've got nothing to do and I'm going to be at home and I'm going to give it a shot. So we'll see.
Are you going to like OBS this so it's going to be you sitting in your office and another one where it's just your screen?
Yeah, basically.
Okay. That's can't miss viewing right there.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to take a quick break. Then we're going to open up these cards and then go into debate that I think took all of us by surprise. Is Trubbish a cat? When we get back.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
All righty, here we go.
Hey,
we're back.
Now,
see, what does the cover of yours look like?
So mine is green. So there. I think there are a bunch of different colors, but they all have the same picture. I don't know.
Yeah, because I have white and black.
Oh, okay. And so I've got green, and so it looks like my green Pikachu is the same. Looks the same as your black Pikachu, and then there's a white one that's a little different. Okay.
Yeah.
So inside of these things, flaps open like so.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when you put everything together, it makes a deck card, which is pretty nice if you're looking for some.
There is a maze for you inside.
Oh, man, that's exciting.
Yep, with the answers on top.
I already solved them.
Comes with a nice frame. The brightness fix itself there. A frame for you to put your card in. And then the pack.
Okay. Each pack
has four additional game cards in them. No digital cards.
Let's see if Jim gets that shiny Charizard.
Oh, I did not, but I got a card that Christian is going to want because he is number one Bulbasaur stan.
Is that? Oh, and it's the foil one, too.
It's the foil one.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting because that looks nothing like it. So these are redraws.
Yep.
Because I was about to say, that's not the original Bulbasaur art there.
Nope.
And Mudkip. So that's what I got. I got shiny Bulbasaur, Charmander, Popplio, and Mudkip. Megan, what'd you get?
I'm opening up my decks. We'll go through. I guess I have 8 total to go through. So,
all right.
Fingers crossed. I get a Pikachu. Oh, no, but I did get foil Totodile.
Nice.
Oh, very nice.
Totodile.
Cute Pikachu at a bakery. Lovely Squirtle. Yeah, that's definitely a redraw.
Yeah. Yep. I like the art.
Yeah, the art's actually really nice.
Galar representing foil Squirtle.
Oh, man.
And I got Piplup, who gotta love, finally, Cyndaquil, and Litten.
That's a diverse bunch. I was about to say, did we have any extras, copies in that entire 12 set? Those 12 cards? So.
No, because Megan, you didn't get a Popplio, right? You didn't say
No. I mean, I have 2 Squirtles, but I did get a foil. So I have foil and then I have the regular. So,
Well, that is the nice thing when they release a 50 card set for the Pokemon company. That's like the other thing that just freaking cracks me up about. It's like usually it's like 10 cards and it's like, yeah, well, no, we're doing 50 this time. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to try and put it in the frame here while Yeah. So I mean, look, overall, like for a happy meal, this is pretty cool.
And plus, like, I do like the little card deck. Mine comes with a thing that you can make a card deck for, and it has the 25th anniversary logo, a little Pokeball on the back, and then it has starter Pikachu, Chikorita, Totodile, Cyndaquil on it. So I did not get a frame. I really do like that frame though.
I want the frame over the
did not get a frame. Neither I got here. I have three deck right boxes though. anybody ever needs some deck boxes, I got you.
I'm just gonna be a show off right now and just show off some of the cards I've got here. There's my Charizard, my OG Charizard, the one that I pulled as a 12-year-old. I love it. Anyway, okay. The Pokemon Company put out, there is some new merchandise available in Japan, of course, that is all cat themed.
And it's amazing. Let's get that out of the way now. It's one of the best merchandise lines I've seen come out of the Pokemon Company in years.
So it has all the cats you can think of. And then in the corner, they're all having there's a picture where they're all having fun. And then in the corner is a Trubbish.
Mm-hmm.
Just hanging out.
Yeah.
With all the other cats. Which has raised the question, is Trubbish a cat?
I mean, no, but I like the ambiguity that they're adding to the argument.
Can you say no right off the bat? Like, just so like that?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Because of the Japanese names for this monster. Its evolution is like Destara or Destaba. So basically, it's supposed to be a dust bunny with its with its ears up. It's supposed to be a rabbit trash bag. dust bunny. that is basically how the names translate into Japanese. You know, obviously, they are...
Yeah,
different Trubbish and localized is, in English. It's definitely supposed Japanese to be a garbage name.
Yeah, Trubbish's Japanese name is literally torn garbage bag.
yeah. So it is supposed to be a rabbit dust buddy garbage bag. But I do like the idea that they're adding some ambiguity to this. That they're like, you know what? Maybe it is a cat. Maybe it is. I mean, Trubbish is a pretty cute Pokemon, so I have no doubt. Oh, here's my cat in the background. So feel free, Pokemon Company, to add my cat to the collection. So I'm fairly confident in saying that, it's not a cat.
Yeah, no, it is 100% not a cat. But, so this artwork, which is by the artist who does this, she does some line. She's well known in Japan for doing line stickers, and also doing some. She does a comic called like Terra Battle or something like that, and it's adorable. Like my favorite one is like not in the main picture, the picture that they released, which has introduced this controversy of what exactly is Trubbish, and the answer is an abomination against man and God. But it's the truth. It's literally created because, somebody put toxic chemicals too close to a garbage bag and the garbage bag gained sentience. That's literally its Pokedex origin. This isn't even like me exaggerating.
It's cute. It's cute
in general.
It's just cute.
Its arms are made of coalesced trash. Its teeth are made of broken glass.
I'm not seeing your point here, Hoffer. Look, I'm just
Leopard fan in the Leopard fan in the chat has brings up a very good point. Like it's literally 90% of Pokemon have the strangest of origins, and Trubbish is not that far off.
Trubbish is
consider many of them to be cute. I mean, look, no one's calling Grimer cute, right? That's totally different.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that someone's out there, thinks Grimer is cute.
Let's see. Are there Grimer stans in the chat? Let us know.
The whole thing. Like I said, my favorite actually of this artwork, my favorite thing is not on the main artwork, but one of the other like drawings that this artist did is of a Galarian Meowth sleeping on a laptop.
Yes.
And that is like the best thing. Like, you know, like
so relatable.
Trubbish, ridiculous Trubbish nonsense aside. You know,
my wife is in the chat. Cats love bags. It's cat adjacent.
I'd agree with that.
You know what? Thank you. Thank you for that. So basically what you're saying is in that piece of artwork, Trubbish is the cat toy. It's not an actual cat.
Actually, in that artwork, Joltik is the cat toy. There's literally a picture in that. It's literally, give me a second. It's Sneasel, and he's chasing after a Joltik. He's like slashing at Joltik. Like I said, the entire artwork, this artwork is just absolutely amazing. I freaking love it. Like, it's got like Corpfish and Rattata and Wishy Washy as cat toys. You have not Liepard, but Liepard's pre-evolved form, throwing tissue papers up into the air.
Off Liepard fan in the comments. I can't believe you would snub him like that, Christian.
Well, it's not Liepard. It's Liepard's pre-evolved form. It's Purloin. Yeah, it took me a hot second. Listen, there are 900 Pokemon. I cannot be expected to know every single one of them immediately off the top of my head.
I'm going to see if I can get this to producer Richard in a timely fashion for us to see if we can put this up on screen while we continue to talk about it. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, since I'm just stalling for time here, but, you know, my favorite part of this entire cat Pokemon drawing thing was when, you know, this picture started getting circulated and Pokemon fans were like, oh, look at all the cute dog Pokemon.
Wow. I mean, that is such an accurate description. My thing is, I want to know when the Pokemon company is going to start selling some official, like, pet cat merchandise. Like, if they had a pet store, like Vaporeon collars, like I need like some like actual cat toys. Like my cats love the like scratcher houses you can get. And I'm having a crisis right now because it's COVID. So I can't go get one. And all the ones that I can find online were like Christmas themed. So if they would make like a Pokemon Center one, like a Pokemon Center cat scratch house, they are missing out on some serious money.
I feel like the overlap of cat fans and like cat owners and Pokemon fans is basically a circle.
yeah, basically.
No, my favorite thing. So when my oldest child was a year old, we bought him a bunch of, you know, Pokemon, Pokemon stuffed animals for him to play with. And, you know, he was like, what? I don't know what these are.
Did that thing too, right? Like, didn't you make him like choose a starter?
Yeah. And he chose Bulbasaur. He threw Squirtle aside, and that's why Squirtle's in my room to this day. but you know, the funny thing was, our cat at the time would just pick up Squirtle and like carry him around the house. And would just like, that was like his cat toy. He's like, oh, look at this easy prey right here, and picks up Squirtle and just like run around with it, like would fall asleep with it. It always cracked me up. Like, I'd come home and the stuffed animals, because, you know, we had all those stuffed animals on our couch because for our first attempt of doing a Pokemon show. you know, we'd come, you know, I'd come home and like our cat would be like falling asleep with a Squirtle underneath, under its arm. To answer the question in the chat, I have not done it with my second child yet. I'm going to be buying the Johto starters for him for his first birthday, and we'll do it then.
I think Richard has the image ready to go. Richard, let's pull it up and show everyone what we've been talking about. There it is. That is the photo. It is
adorable.
It's a great one.
Yep, look at all those great dog Pokemon.
But it's just so weird because it's just like just Trubbish just hanging out there, just stealing some snacks.
Food. Yeah. It's just that it cracks me up. And like the thing was, there was a video that came out with this. And so they did some like, you know, like they would like focus on different cats and they would have like the cat, you know, like their Pokemon growls and stuff. And literally one of them was Trubbish. So it was like, oh, here's Meowth and here's Sneasel and, you know, here's Purloin and here's Trubbish.
And I like to think that Trubbish was just like off screen and like just saw that there was food, and Trubbish was like, you know what,
I like the wish cash that was in the background, kind of like what Megan's got, like that Kirby open mouth, like cat bed hut thing. Mm-hmm. But I also love that wish cash is there more than likely, like as a toy or a cat sleep.
Yeah, it's like a cat house,
but it's a catfish.
Yeah.
And that's why it's there.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah, no, I do now like the fact that once again, the chat is debating over what exactly are these things. As it's like, no, you know, Esper's a cat. No, no. And it's like, no, Esper was always a cat. Sneasel's the weird one here. And I was like, I agree with that. Sneasel is not a cat. Its name is literally Weasel. Like,
right.
Well, Joltik, the reason Joltik's in there is because the cat is playing with Joltik. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You know, it's
like, and there's like a Pikachu bucket and like a, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, that's, I guess, Trubbish, not a cat. So,
yeah.
Not a cat, but as we confirmed, cat adjacent.
Cat adjacent is
fair. Yes.
I know, folks listening the last week, know that we had quite the debate what Eevee was. And so we put the poll out on Twitter and we got the results. Overwhelmingly, people said Eevee was a fox. Coming in second, an adorable ball of floof, followed by dog, then by cat. So dog had more votes than cat, which was the champion's choice of Christian and Megan.
The answer is it's ball of floof was what my
ball
vote was floof. For.
Ball of
literally,
floof
it's a Pokemon. Oh, it's none
That's
of the
not
above.
What the audience said. The audience said fox, and so fox won.
Well, for one thing, that's because, you know, you had a couple of big names weigh in, and that swayed the vote.
How did it sway the vote?
Are followers, Jim.
That's true. I think A-Drive said fox, but I think Steve from It's Super Effective said cat. If I remember correctly.
But you know, I was about to say, I'm not going to fox. It's not, it's got a fox body, you know, and foxish, not really fox's ears, because it's got big rabbit ears. I mean, like I said, it's none of the above. It's literally an undefined animal that, you know, some dude had a conversation, you know, some dude like found in the woods when he was a kid. No wonder it came out as an amalgam of like four animals. But you know what this is a good lead into?
Our today's Pokemon fact of the week.
Which is very relevant to me.
Yes. I was about to say, usually for PokeFacts of the week, we do families of Pokemon. We don't do the individual ones. But in this case, we're going to make an exception and talk about Vaporeon. One, because Vaporeon is actually a really interesting Pokemon. I feel like it's a little understated because, you know, Vaporeon literally transforms into water. It's you know, and I don't quite understand the science behind this. It's like, oh, it has water-like molecules. I'm like, that's not actually a thing, guys. That's not science at all. It's like, it can melt into water. I'm like,
yeah.
Wait, but still really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool. So
I would just like to share one of my favorite things about Vaporeon, aside from its just absurd cuteness. This is a fact not in the script, but I just always thought it was funny because when I first realized this fact, it reminded me of when I first watched Mean Girls. But basically, Vaporeon can tell when it's going to rain because its tail will start vibrating because it is filling with moisture. And it just reminded me of that scene in like Mean Girls where like the blonde one, I can't remember her name, is like trying to figure out what the weather is going to be. And I loved that movie at the time. So that is my interesting fact about Vaporeon, aside from it just being stupidly cute.
Yeah, the there's a 40% chance it's going to rain, and it's actually raining. Yes. That is like one of my favorite parts that bits in that entire movie.
Yeah, so that is Vaporeon.
some other interesting facts about Vaporeon. It was one of the Pokemon that received a radical redesign between Gen 1 and Gen 2. In fact, like all the concept art for Vaporeon has remained rather consistent. But if you take a look at Vaporeon's Gen 1 sprite, it looks very different. Like there are a lot of like weirdo details about it. Like it has extra fins on its legs. It's like spine. The spine fin goes all the way down. The back of Vaporeon does not look like how Vaporeon was supposed to look. So it got a big redesign between Gen 1 and Gen 2.
Look at that. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, no, which mm-hmm. It's like, you know, I chose Vaporeon as my Eevee evolution. I needed a good water Pokemon at the time. Because, you know, a lot of the water Pokemon you actually get in the original ones. Cloyster is a decent one to have. Obviously Blastoise is a good one to have, but a lot of the other ones, like unless you want to commit to get the Gyarados, they're kind of trash. So I needed a good one, so I chose Vaporeon. But the other thing is that, you know, one of its the inspirations for its design is actually the Merlion, which I forget what country Merlions are a Singapore. They are the national symbol of Singapore. And of course, Merlions is a combination of a fish and a lion, which, you know, therefore means that a lot of people think that Vaporeon is a dog.
Yeah, because lions are dogs, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think like my dog is a direct descendant of a lion, actually. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
You know, like that's it's definitely the mane, the cat-like snout, definitely gives me that, like, yep, Vaporeon, based on a merlion, definitely a dog.
Yeah. It's one of those things, and I totally forgot too, that Vaporeon's shiny form is kind of that, like, it's like magenta-ish. Should have been included in the Valentine's Day festivities on Pokemon Go, because
pink purple.
It's a very fitting color, and one of the ones that, like, doesn't look awful. Like, I think of the Eevee evolution shiny version, I mean, you've got green Jolteon, which is weird. You've got even greener Espeon. Flareon, I think, is the one that actually doesn't have. You can't really tell that much, but Umbreon's got the blue stripes, which is okay. I'll take that.
Yeah, shiny Flareon's one of those gold ones where
it's not that noticeable. I mean, I have all the shiny evolutions because obviously I'm the Eevee stan here, but Vaporeon is by and large the best of the shiny forms for them. It's also just a little bit confusing because I just want to know why pink, like what evolutionary tactic, like I just assume that shinies are formed because they had like a divergence in evolution. And so like, that's what I assume. Like, what was it evolutionarily? Was it an advantage or like a disadvantage to turn pink, purple, magenta for Vaporeon if you're in the water all the time?
Yeah, that's true.
I'm confused. I always assume that the shinies are kind of like the Pokemon equivalent to albinism.
I just think that they're more. There's two, but I think of it more like eye color, right? Or like recessive and dominant genes, where, you know, or hair color, or just things like that. Where
we have three very different opinions. I figured it was like when you have an island and then it gets cut in half, and these species on the left evolve differently to the species on the right, and one of them just turned pink for some evolutionarily advantageous reason, which I still haven't figured out for shiny Vaporeon.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us this week on A Wild Podcast Has Appeared. If you're thinking to yourself, man, I love this show. I would love to figure out a way to support them. I just wish I knew how. There are plenty of ways you can do that. Let me tell you. Mm-hmm. You can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. It's one of the best ways to help us out on the show. If you want to watch us live, make sure you follow the comic book account, twitch.tv/comicbook. We go live every Monday as A Wild Podcast Has Appeared at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Overseas. We also have two other shows that we do on Twitch. We do Comic Book Nation, which is every Wednesday, and Phase Zero, our Marvel show, every Friday. I know definitely there are some repeat Twitch watchers in our chat that tune in for the other shows, so we appreciate the support there. Otherwise, follow at Pokemon Pod CB on Twitter. You can get in on polls like, is Eevee a cat, dog, fox, or floof? Or we also did, what is Trubbish a cat? I think the Abomination choice won out there. But Cat did come in second on that vote. So And then all of our Pokemon news that, you know, is mostly written by Christian, and then all the anime stuff written by Megan and her crew over at Comic Book. You can find all of that stuff there. Otherwise, you can find me on Twitter at Jim Viscardi.
You can find me on Twitter at Megan Peters CB.
And I am at C Hoffer CBus.
So until next time, folks, we are the countdown begins to Pokemon Day. We'll catch you then. Thank you.